This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We're in the studio, the All Things Comedy studio, and not in a vehicle. We went over that last week. We're just cutting back on the car drives for now. It's nothing official. But I started to have some bad nightmares. Karen is making some scratching noises on the wall, and right now I'm going to ask her why she's doing that.
It's a twofold reason. Okay. First of all, there's no ambient sound because the studio is built for recording, so it's like everything's felt and stuff, and this wall behind me is made of material.
So what used to be the sounds of cars and traffic and honking and potential accidents and killing of guests is now going to be replaced by us scratching different fabrics. Your felts, your leathers, your pleathers. See if there's a difference there.
You might have to guess the fabric, and then you might win a mug.
That'd be a fun segment. A scratch for a plug, or a mug for a mug for a...
The mug plug for a...
A mug for a pug. We'll have different dogs. We'll squeeze them, make them bark.
Let's
what kind of dog it is. You get a mug.
Expensive breed dogs. Yeah. Not pound dogs.
No, the first...
We'll buy like $2,000 dogs.
Logistically, where are we going to get these dogs?
Look, we'll worry about that later.
Okay,
let's follow the idea.
We'll go to the pound. With us today...
Really quick.
Really quick.
Before we introduce him.
With us today is guess what fabric this is.
Is the first installment of Guess the Fabric Karen Scratching.
Mm-hmm.
It's and I'll give you one hint. It's dark green.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds, I mean, I'm closing my eyes. I didn't really look at the wall. It sounds like you're inside a tent. Sounds like a vinyl of some kind.
It does, like zipping and unzipping.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, is that a bear?
Up.
Let me go see.
Nope.
I better go back to sleep.
Oh, let me see if I remembered to hang our garbage from a tree. Oh, yep, it's hanging. Time to go back to bed.
That was also for any fans of Penny Dreadful. If you're watching Penny Dreadful, the whole last episode, Eva Green spent a good long time scratching the walls of her padded cell.
Well, you've sold me on that show. What's it called?
It's called Do You Need a Ride, Junior, a.k.a. Showtime's Penny Dreadful.
We put the dreadful in the thing that's
Podcasting.
Already called that. We put the penny. We're making money off dread.
Here's what I like.
Pennies.
About us in the studio.
Yes.
Aside from our complexions
and
our joie de vivre. Joe, be quiet. What I like is that
shut up, Joe.
Shut up.
We haven't introduced you yet. Have you never done a podcast? Go on, Karen.
Well, what I was going to say was that we're learning to perfectly talk over each other. Just at the end.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Just like this. Write that?
Sorry.
No.
Yes.
Never apologize.
I think that it's all about timing, and boy, do we got it, you and I. It's Amen. Weird to look at your face when we're talking, I realize. Yeah.
Why? Weird?
Because we used to be in a car side by side, and if we looked at each other's faces, it would be blood on the highway.
But this is my
The 1960s.
This is the side you never Driver's got to see from when I was driving.
Unless you were parallel parking and you quickly looked over your right shoulder, I never saw the front of your face.
Yeah, I would sometimes turn and look over my right shoulder just to flirt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever picked up on that.
I remember you oftentimes adjusting the rearview mirror to look down at one of our guests' shirts.
Hey, could you lean forward a little bit and tell that story again real slow?
It's for sound reasons.
It's all for sound.
Do you mind wearing this? It's everyone does it.
It's a cool jumpsuit.
Yeah, zip.
That would be great to scratch.
Oh, God.
It's kind of a nylon jumps. Anyhow.
If you just tuned in, welcome to Scratch and Fabrics. Today's our guest. Today is our guest.
This is why I listen to this show.
Today our guest is the Sabbath, brought to you by the Fallen Soldiers.
Joe Wagner.
Suck that snot.
Joe Wagner.
Right into the microphone.
Just clearing his sinuses.
I thought that was a hot opening, by the way.
From the Long Shot podcast, from many television shows he's produced, from many things he's written, from my second writing job.
He's a director of a stage program that I was part of.
Chris just hosted it.
That was fun.
Last month.
A UCB stage program that's more important.
Yes.
Seven years running.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Jesus.
How's it going? It's still fun.
The Midnight
That's all,
Show.
Like, the one thing it has to be, which is like, oh, I enjoy doing this, and it's one week out of the month, because we do it the first Saturday
perfect.
Of every month.
Perfect.
And I see all those friends.
Just enough.
And it's fun. Just enough, and it's fun. They're like, Chris can attest, they're all really good.
Oh,
and
really?
We have a good time. We have two rehearsals. But we actually have a good time. Like, there's more laughs in the rehearsal.
It was fun. We were in the middle of rehearsing, and I thought to myself, God, it's been a while since I've been to a party. And then I remembered it wasn't a party. I just don't get out.
It's a party. It's a fucking party.
It was a party. Limeritas.
For the record, I'm drinking on the podcast.
That's right. Talk listeners. About your beverage.
This is a Bud Light Mangorita.
It's and when did you pledge your sorority? What season did you pledge that sorority?
I'm going to go see Neighbors 2 at L.A. City Wonk.
Yeah?
In a few hours.
Is this true, or are you
just
naming the most
want to meet me
Mangorita?
Oh, this isn't live, right? Fuck.
Are you singing?
This isn't streaming?
No.
Where do you see it? You'd have to go to the Sundance Theater or something to see that, right?
That's what it's called now, right? The Robert Redford. Is that what? Remember,
right.
It used to be Sunset.
That's what it's called now, right?
Sunset.
That's what it's called now, right? That's how you said it. Oh,
Joe
man.
Has a podcasting accent.
You should go
accent.
See Sing Street. Yeah, it was.
Oh, you were raving about. I was telling Karen. So I don't know if this is weird, but I am kind of a podcast super fan, and like I listened to the last show just before getting here. So I've just been listening to you guys in my head for like, it was an hour and 12 minutes.
Hi.
Oh, that was a longer one, yeah.
Well, it was the first one here.
Did you notice what was different about that episode?
Of course I did. You were not in the car.
Right.
You were not in the car.
There's an additional thing that I didn't know until recently. I, for the first time ever, forgot to put the song
that's
at the beginning
right.
and end.
See, that's funny. I thought that was a creative choice because you were not in the car and there's a format transition happening.
Yes.
I knew about a new theme song.
Karen, right. I knew about the transition.
Something
I knew about
in a
it
reggae?
Happening.
Something reggae song? We'll think about it.
Those are fun things to play games with the listeners. Listeners out there, start sending in your ideas.
Yeah, just suggest a type of music. Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Tweet it.
Podcast listeners are very creative.
People are going to freak
out. They send in stuff.
If we quit
using that song, they love the song.
Oh, okay.
It is very catchy.
It's easier for me.
It's a great song. I hope you're not offended if I say I think it's one of your best songs.
No, I actually love that song, and I literally wrote it in probably 15 minutes.
That's great.
It came right out.
That's how hits are made.
I agree. Mm-hmm. That's what Neil Sedaka says.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, though? You noticed?
Well, you were picking up on it right now at the beginning. The simple fact that you guys can look into each other's eyes as you're talking changes a dynamic.
Karen made a scary face. Karen made a scary eye face.
That was as funny as like a cat meme. Like, look, like when cats are seeing something and it looks like it's blowing their mind.
That was like a cat looking at a cucumber.
With the one paw starting to go up.
Classic.
Yeah, now, I mean, that changes the dynamic of conversation and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so, all the focus you had to put on literally driving a vehicle has to now come back into just like, hey, let's keep talking.
Some people appreciated that we had to deal with that, and they noticed that we were, at times it was troubling, but now, are they going to miss that? Was it a...
I don't care what they want.
We don't...
Well, I think that's the right attitude, actually, because maybe you have to just do like whatever it is that feels right with podcasting.
That's
the one art form we cannot let become tainted by the other person on the side of the exchange.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
You take it as you fucking get it.
Like poetry, baby. Like a poetry slam.
Yeah.
Yes, just like a poetry slam.
I think that we were, or I was probably heavy on the, no one's going to like that. If you don't like it, don't say anything. Or what? I think I kept saying that because all the Twitter activity was like, hey, I like the new format. Don't beat yourselves up.
I guess. You can really elicit exactly the response you get by just being a touch manipulative.
That's
all you gotta do.
That's how I got booked on the show.
That's right.
I tweeted that I was something like, I'm open to change and evolution. About you guys.
Yeah.
Like, as a fan, I'm open to it.
And that support got him booked on the show.
And we don't need to change the name of the podcast, right?
No, although ironically, I love that I'm the first guest in the studio version, and if anybody could use a ride... Like, of all the guests you've ever had, I haven't driven a car for like 5 years.
Did you have to take two buses?
One bus.
That's the best thing
about living downtown is that as far as like how many things I have to take, usually there's just something direct I can jump on.
Maybe that's
like
what we change it to. We'll just change the name of the podcast to Did You Need a Ride? Because we didn't give one. We'll just tell you,
just
open
find
up
that out at the end of the show.
Did you need a ride? Oh, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Two buses. Two buses. Wow,
you
did.
You play the Price is Right losing horns.
See, I knew
he's so good at that.
And now do the one where the little guy goes up the
You know what I gift?
300.
I gift searched recently Plinko.
Oh.
I have a Plinko machine.
They made a home version, right?
It's a vertical pinball like machine. Oh, that's Parchenko.
But see, maybe that's what the Price is Right guys did, probably. They were like, oh, we'll make our version. We call it Plinko.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
There's no such thing called Parchenko. Just so you know.
Isn't it?
There's Parcheesi.
It's a crack. Parcheesi. Isn't Parcheesi a crack?
He got me with Parchenko.
Parcheesi, Parweedy?
You're thinking of Wheatsworth.
Oh, I'm thinking of Crispix. Which
that's cereal.
Yeah, well, it is the one that I used to pick, mainly because of that joke. Any thoughts, Joe?
Crispix. Nope. Crispix. Crispix cereal.
Crispix.
I knew you didn't get it.
I'm drunk on mango Rita already.
Already.
Oh God, I want a sip of that.
I would kill to drink that mango Rita.
I wonder sometimes if you crave the booze.
I don't crave the drink I'm not sweating or anything.
Yeah.
I just think about how the great, awesome personality I used to have when I'd be at the bottom of one of those.
Yeah.
Oh my God, kicking my leg up in the air and telling people what's what. I was so free.
You only make me feel better about what I'm doing right now, because I think when I get to about there, rest of the day is just like, this is going to be fine.
It's going to be golden grams for you.
Yeah. And I'm going to a party later, and
Who's
I know
party?
They're going to be young kids.
Well, what party?
Lauren Brown's thing.
Don't know her. Don't know Mrs. Brown's.
I always dip my toe back into the...
Ooh, it's a pool party?
Into the newest cycle of...
Children of comedy?
Of dreamers.
I like
the young
that.
Dreamers of today.
The younger dreamers, millennials.
I like that you do that.
That's smart. Then you get to stand around at other people's houses.
But the problem is like I feel like I'm, like you. Sometimes I get that feeling that I'm in right in the middle of some, the social cycle. So like, I don't hang out with my married with kid friends. Really.
Why would you? What good would it be?
Except for Paul Dinghy, but that's cool because
he's
just
the
like,
exception.
Yeah. Sitting on the couch with the two girls watching like Dr. Seuss. Great, I'm in.
Sure.
There's no better.
But then I'm also not. I don't hang around the millennials enough to know, like, okay, perfect example. Like, today I was online and I saw people posted pictures of, like, hey, at that glitter party. And I knew all the people and I was like, why wasn't I invited to the glitter party?
I don't get it.
Is it because I'm a 43-year-old man?
And I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I think because I'm fun at parties, but no one invites me to shit anymore.
Well, I think
it's because you're on the west side.
It's because I'm on the west side. And the chances are I'll go, that sounds really fun. I love glitter. And I won't show up.
Are you near the train? The train to the ocean?
I'm near the ocean. There ain't no trains.
Oh, I thought you were at Culver City.
No.
I went.
He's all the way out.
You're Venice.
I'm Marina Del Rey.
All it would take though is if you had one. You and Nate had another party at your apartment, and you invite all those glitterati's, those glitter children,
the glitter
to
kids?
One party. You'd be back in the mix. That's all it takes. Is people need to feel like they're open to your house and you're open to theirs. So that's all it takes.
Yeah, I need to extend a branch.
I don't put that. See, I don't put that out.
That's yeah, no one's thing. Ever like, seen where you live
no,
for the past
it's a
15 years.
Cave. Well, right. No, like three people.
You used to live in the Midnight Show
house.
The show we were talking about, the sketch show. Everyone
gentlemen.
Lived in this house, and it was.
Karen, did
just,
you come by that place?
Yes,
once?
When everyone had moved out.
I used to get drunk, and then I didn't want to drive all the way back to the beach. I'd sleep on the couch and just wake up with flea bites all the way up my legs.
God, we were bad boys.
I assume.
We were the original bad boys of comedy.
You were.
Buy our DVD.
Yeah, because what's worse than fleas? You know, you imagine a guy and you're like, he's such a bad boy. Motorcycle, leather jacket, infested with fleas.
Did I ever tell you guys, did you know
everyone
that?
Everyone stayed slim there because the kitchen induced vomiting. Sorry, that's the last stab on me. It was disgusting.
No, you know what the worst filthy. One was? Like 4 months after Thanksgiving and being able to mark time because it was the Thanksgiving Day dishes that were still in the sink. Like, and being like, oh, well, those have been there now.
Oh,
three
wow.
Months.
So I'm assuming that there's only dudes in the sketch group.
Yep.
No, house. No, the Midnight Show actually has one female member. We're trying to change that. It's been too long like that. But she's brilliant.
Get on
Heather Ann Campbell.
She's the best of sketch writers.
Like she took one of the last improv classes with Doug Close because she was like 17 in Chicago. And then she did like that Boom Amsterdam thing for a while.
So she's on drugs?
She's really good. She's an amazing performer and writer, but only one woman. But in the house, it was all dudes. And it was, you know. So I was going to tell you guys, I lived in that back room on the first floor.
You had your own apartment there.
Yeah,
almost.
It was like kind of my own. I had doors, which is what I had, you know. It's like
remember
I had
that
my
time
own entrance.
I was hanging out the window and you gave me a ladder, but you didn't know how to lock the ladder. So I got on the ladder and this Charlie Chaplin thing happened where it went do, 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 do. And I just landed in a cactus.
It was like one of those bad QVC viral videos of like the guy falling.
How'd you get it hanging out the window in the first place?
Oh, something happened and I climbed out the bathroom window.
Something happened.
Yeah, just some boozing and. And
flirting?
Little game of poke and tickle.
It was like
and,
the 50s.
Just a little.
Like the 50s.
I was shucking and jiving.
Yeah,
and
it was like.
You went into the bathroom with your secretary, and then your wife brought the roast into the dining room.
I said, it's not what you think, but there was a bra on my finger.
Chris had a big wide tie. Paisley pattern.
Mr. Drake's almost here. We have to clean this up. Get the ladder.
Anyway.
I lived in a back apartment that had a fireplace. And there turned out to be a giant beehive in the fireplace. Like, gigantic.
I think that's good luck.
Why didn't
and
you smoke them out?
What would happen was the bees would come down the fireplace into my room, but they would go, there was something about whatever kind of bees they were, they would go straight to the windows and they would try to get out, and they would hit themselves against the window so much that they would die. Now, I'm surmising all this because when I would wake up in the morning, there would just be dead bees all along the walls, the edges of my place. And I was like, well, this is really fucked up.
Yeah,
and
then, that's like, the beginning of The Ring or something.
Yeah, then Amityville sometimes
horror.
I would see
Amityville,
them come out.
Better,
I know.
Better.
And there were some dark, there were dark
it's house,
days.
It's a house-based
yeah.
horror.
There were dark days there, and to have like bees coming out and seeing them like dead or flying around, like I was like, this is, it didn't feel right.
No, that's the devil's work.
Yeah, and so then eventually the landlord, see now, of course, the landlord hired someone that wasn't a professional. It was some guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to smoke them out and like ended up, there was like, he started a fire at the top and was like trying to put it out.
Wait, did
like,
he hire Chris?
Yeah.
to get on his ladder and smoke the bees out?
What are you guys talking? Don't question what I know. I'm wearing a top hat. I'm wearing a top hat. I have a giant broom.
Bees and fleas, it all happened at
the
midnight
silent movie
house.
Theater makeup.
Bees and fleas, everybody. How many sketches were about bees and how many were about fleas?
Well, no, I mean, you know. It was solid material.
Okay.
But they finally actually, and then he put up a mesh so that they wouldn't come out anymore. But for a while, I would just scoop up handfuls of dead bees.
God.
Did you ever get stung?
Yeah, you're not supposed to handle
it. I got stung one. Well, here's the thing.
Dead bees can still sting.
The first couple times I saw them fly out, I was like, oh my God, am I going to get stung? Are they coming for me? And I would see the pattern of they would just go to the windows. They never came at me. And then I did get stung once, and I think it was more of an accidental thing where I kind of walked into his flight
the
path.
The flight
or whatever.
Path, right. You should have stayed on your side of the room, like fucking Laverne and Shirley.
I thought I could walk
sense.
Around my space.
I just picture you all slumped over
sheet,
on a bed, like watching
a
freeway
in
of
the middle.
Bees.
My favorite thing to imagine is you, there being bees in your room, and you just getting in bed and getting under the covers.
Oh, well.
I don't know why. Bees just
please
swarming.
Bees don't hurt me.
Just bees.
And the funniest one voiced by Jerry Seinfeld.
Mm.
Well, I'm gonna land on that eyebrow.
Who is that guy?
Do we know him?
Is it our apartment or is it his apartment?
He needs to clean
check
up.
Check the cereal boxes. Remember how Seinfeld was like, hey, look, I have like 17 cereal
boxes.
He
loved cereal. That was part of his personality.
Oh, I was like Leno with the Cars.
But cereal
the
boxes.
The band, the Cars.
Oh, yeah. God, he loves them.
Look at the man, I need it.
Wasting all my time. Wasting all my time. Time? Sorry.
The best lyric of the Cars is something about brushing your rock and roll hair. That's the best.
Oh, I like that. Rico Kasich was always cool because he looked weird, too.
Yeah.
Just like Blaine.
He really looks.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they all, everyone here, those two combined become Richard Belzer.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, Richard.
They're like a little family. That should have been a movie.
Oh, so.
I really meant that.
Richard Belzer, the
Blaine
from Kapach, the Cars, Blaine
I meant
Kapach,
that.
And Rico Kasich.
And we mean it.
So I listened to the first episode. I want to bring up a couple things.
Okay, shoot.
So the notes like?
I Googled
gonna be criticism. I feel like
non-legitimate human.
Okay.
This is something you brought up that you said you heard
coincidence.
LA police officer say.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I Googled it, and I mostly just got hockey stuff. I put in NHL.
Sure.
And then I put in, and then I also put in non-legitimate human.
NLH was what you were looking for.
I just got hockey stuff. Nothing. Nothing at all. No, I'm not doubting.
Have you heard non-black assailant or NBA? If you Google that, they hide that with a lot of basketball photos.
I'm a big non-black assailant fan. Are you following the playoffs?
Oh, my God.
I swear they say not. Do you remember him saying not legitimate human in that?
No, that, you said that's what the guy said. Oh, and then
it
you said they said that
said.
In the documentary.
That's
as
the
well.
Two times I've heard it.
I
so it's either
anything,
a coincidence.
Not even that documentary. So. But anyway, I looked at that was fun to do as a listener.
Mm.
Little
okay.
Goose chases and
sure,
stuff.
Sure, a
like
wild
that
one.
Stuff.
Sure.
I already told Karen it's Koch Brothers.
Because we were saying Koch.
I said Coke.
And then you started to go veer into like couch.
No, you do know what comedy is, right?
Yeah, like,
that we would be doing.
Oftentimes, someone will tell a story, and then to punch it up, they'll make up. You know, it's not always true.
Comedy. We do a lot of mispronunciations.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that.
You're a big fan of truth.
I sent a text to Karen and I said,
Shalna Harper in School of Truth in Comedy.
I've never read any of those books. You're a show burglar. Because you started as a show business, but it came out show burglarness something.
Show burglar?
Yeah, and then that became show burglar. You're a show burglar. And then you complimented him in Largo, and then it's fun when you hear a friend have to try to take a compliment, and they're like, thank you.
Hey, well, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast.
You guys know I've been a fan since the beginning.
Joe really has been with us since day one.
So you're able to take a compliment.
Because I was like, that's a great hook. And if they always keep doing it forever in perpetuity as a podcast in the car, then it'll work.
But Joe, we've stopped.
Wait.
We aren't in the car. What are you saying?
Hey, I'm on a bike. Get out of the way. I'll hit you with a lock.
I like that. And then at the end, you were like, well, this feels better because of the safety element. And then it was like, what if a truck came through the studio right now and killed all of us?
Just hitting all the...
I was so funny.
Display
You're
stands.
You're funny. You guys are really funny.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
I'm happy to be here, but it's been great hanging out Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon. Are you going to go to that glitter party later?
I don't know if there'll be glitter there. Should I buy some glitter before I go there? Is that the new thing?
You know what's so funny? I did ass cast.
What if you had you broke your ass and you had to wear an ass cast?
Big old ass cast that looked like a white peach.
Prisoner of Ass Cast Band.
Ass Cast Band. I left there and it was only 9:30 and I had my makeup on and kind of a good outfit.
And now you're jazzed.
I was jazzed because I was so scared. But I did it anyway.
It was super fun.
And it was crazy fun and great. And then I was like, where's the party at? And I was like, just drive home, Grandma. You don't know where the party's at anymore.
There's so many more moments like that now. And the toughest thing is because they're coming right off of like a high. You feel good and you want to... It's like when you realize that maybe it's rarer than not to be like, I want to be around people because I feel like I can share a goodness about me.
Yes. For once, I'm not all pouty and weird and isolated. I've got my eyebrows on. Right. Let's go bring it to the city.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, it's like, April's out of town. George is married. I guess I'll go home and pet my goddamn dogs.
Well, you know, if I hear any more glitter parties, I'll Snapchat you the directions.
I would never go to a glitter party.
I'll never do Snapchat.
Never.
We talked about that.
Oh, yeah. Did you get... So you're not on it.
I'm not.
No, me neither. And I've already seen it in a couple of writing packet submissions of like, hey, give us three ideas that are Snapchat based.
Yeah, that happened when LO came out. Don't worry about it. Can it pitch out some LO segments? Remember when everyone freaked out about joining LO
and
it literally was 15 seconds? Snapchat is for children in junior high.
Yeah, and comedians, though. That's like all these comics. What are you going to do in that short amount of time?
Well, some people are just...
Come to my show. Here's my dick. I just always...
Well, some people are creative and they're funny because they just have so much excess energy and they have to keep creating.
No.
But...
Yeah, they don't have to. That's the thing.
That's very...
If we laid all the content down and gave it a letter grade like we were in Snapchat high school, many people would be failing.
Well, I'm not on it. I'm still cool.
Asked to leave that high school.
What about this Periscope thing? That makes more sense. It's like people are into that.
That's more entertaining because you're just filming something so everyone can see it.
Right.
This reminds me
Should I do that then? Guys, I'm looking for help, career advice.
Yeah, Periscope's going to get you to the top.
Only if you're drawn to it. If you're asking to do it,
I'm not drawn to it. I'm not drawn to it. I don't want to. I love Brody Stevens, but when I met, it's like he's to aim a camera at yourself and do a thing. I just don't have the.
No,
not to say he's riddled with all this confidence.
No, I mean,
whatever makes you want to do that, I don't have it, which is why my career is in the shitter. Just kidding.
You have a TV show.
yeah, but that's going to go away. And then I'll be like, why the hell wasn't I periscoping this whole time? Plan B.
I saw somebody we know. I'm not going to say their name, but they were on a,
I'm gonna guess.
A show, and then they were talking about how, like...
And by the way, that's why I brought up Brody. I watch his all the time, drumming in his car. I'll watch all 30
right.
minutes of
it. Sure.
So I'm not talking smack about Bro Dog.
No, no, no. But Carry that on, is sorry. Reflective of a certain mental complexes. moving on. No, but I this person was saying like how, and he used the word meaningless, a late night stand-up set spot is now
compared, Jake Wiseman.
Compared to like Carson, whatever.
You know, oh, that's someone who's right. Dana Gold?
And
meaningless.
There was just something about the way they said meaningless. I was like, "That's come on, man. Like, that's not, it's not that bad. Like... You know, I
mean, well, it's not. It's not going to deliver you into a holding deal at NBC.
Yeah, no,
those days
right,
are over.
Right, right.
But it's the way to get people to know that you're a performer.
Yeah, right. It's not going to give Joe DiResta a cop show when it shouldn't happen.
Right.
Joe DeRosa?
No, he's thinking of DiResta, who was a New York traffic cop who did stand up and got he got the tail end of the. Seinfeld resent like a stand-up getting
right.
a comic like Kevin James post Kevin James
and then I opened for him at Agua Caliente Casino and man he's still upset about that show not taking off
that's recently
he was upset
that's
about
another
everything.
20 minutes
very hard to be around
right
very difficult to be around
yeah,
I was with Jimmy Pardo actually
this is not an easy business right guys
no it isn't
Well, it you know what it makes big promises, and then you think, oh, this is how it's going to be now. But really, all you're getting is something for a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm,
then
right.
you have to get something else after that.
The secret to enjoying life and appreciating things are keeping your expectations very low.
And
that's what I've done.
Simple
eating
living.
Protein every 4 hours. Mm-hmm.
Simple
that's
living.
Compost piles.
That's good. And also, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to reach
Don't
out.
Afraid.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, ever. And I don't care if someone's pulled a gun on you.
Right.
Or if the doctor told you you have terminal cancer. Do not be afraid.
Be fearless.
Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come follow me. And I will give you peace.
Rest. It's rest.
Is it peace or rest?
It's rest.
Oh, my God.
I hate it when you guys fight. I hate it when you guys fight.
That could have been so nice.
If you say rest, you're going to hell.
I have a quick follow-up song. What the fuck was that song, and how did you both know it? I've never heard it in my life.
Yeah. I thought you were going to do Motley Crue's Shout at the Devil.
We're Catholics.
That's just the way.
That was Catholic.
Oh, that was just Catholic.
That was instant, song. Like deep in the brain somewhere, like seared into, you hear that song 40
wow,
times
I've
and
never,
you'll just be able to sing the first.
I guess I would have known if you guys were standing and kneeling during it. Come on, I do a lot of Catholic material, even though I myself, the church, there's a lot of up
you
and down.
You would have made the cutest acolyte.
Yeah?
Altar boy.
Oh, really?
You've been really cute, yeah.
Yeah, well, when I was younger, I did have cherub-like hair. Highly molestable.
Peace is flowing like a river. Remember this one? Flowing
sort of.
Out of you and me.
Peace is
I started too low. Flowing out into the desert, setting all your captives free.
Wow, that's
and
a heavy...
And who are our captives?
There's a lot.
I want to steal
Israelites?
Time glasses. We'll be right back.
That's the funniest thing. I don't remember what any of it was referring to or
right.
what it
mean.
I know it was very Jesus-centric.
Right.
Yeah. The pieces, I think, are his body, like his wafer pieces.
No,
oh, would you,
peace
hey,
is...
There's a Jesus...
Jesus pieces?
No...
Hey, you guys, what if it's the cool priest who's like, hey, who wants a handful of Jesus pieces?
I went to cool priest a couple times.
Yeah?
When as a young teenager, I had questions
yeah.
about the faith.
Oh, because you might join it? Were well, you going
to
join us?
No, it was because I went to a Christian, I went to, up till sixth grade, I went to a Protestant Christian school,
mm-hmm.
elementary school, but I was
oh,
you
wow.
know, going to Catholic Mass. And it was, like, Christian enough that we would learn, like, Bible scripture, like, memorize and stuff. And there was a girl that I took the bus with that was like, there's no purgatory. Like, you guys made that up. There's, like, it doesn't exist.
You guys on the bus?
you Catholics.
Made
up purgatory. And I didn't really know enough about it. And I was like, so I guess I came home and I was like, so what's up with purgatory? And then they were like, oh, well, we'll take you to cool Father.
Yeah. Father Kevin.
How was it cool?
Father Bob.
Was it?
The one
said,
thing,
why don't you pop your
thing,
collar?
No. Oh, he did.
For the Lord.
There are two things I remember very specifically. He once cited a Barry Gibb song lyrics in a sermon.
Cool.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Karen, it was cool.
I'm just trying to think of what it could have been.
And then when I went into his office, his rectory office, he had, do you guys, maybe this was, I think, a very 80s Spencer's Gifts kind of thing. He had a glass liter bottle of Coke, but the glass had been melted, so it was like all twisty.
Oh, you get those at the fair?
Yeah.
Did it have sand in it?
No, it was just this weird twisted up intact glass Coke bottles.
Yeah.
So he's like,
and I was like, that is so cool. I thought, like, that's the shit I would like in my room. Like, when I saw it.
And he was like, Joe, to answer your question, the answer to purgatory is you just got to keep staying alive. Staying alive. That took me 7 minutes to come up with.
He couldn't think of one Gibb number.
I mean, racking my brain. Jesus.
And he said it while walking around the room holding a paint can.
Yeah.
And then he slapped all of his family members around the dinner table.
So,
you just need to worry about getting into heaven. In the meantime, why don't you trip out over this twisty Coke bottle? Whoa,
life is
crazy. Candy canes and hot beans, something. And man, I don't know what that's called.
He struck me as a good man.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, like decent guy. There was a priest that left, like, and I remember even as a kid, because
he
my mom,
stroked
like,
you as a good
go?
Man.
No, he was an older Italian dude, and he scared the shit out of me because they had prepared us for first confession, and I walk in and he was the priest listening, you know, hearing the confessions, and they had just told us like. Basically, prepare your list, say it, then the priest will tell you to say this prayer. And, like, they take you through it as a kid.
Yeah.
It's nerve-wracking.
You're only in third grade.
Yeah. You're probably eight or something like nine. And I sit down and I tell them my first sin. And then I'm about to go into the second one. And he goes, why did you do that? Fucking Dracula on the other side.
What was it?
Oh my God.
And I
impure thoughts?
Blanked.
What'd you do?
I don't know what it was. Maybe I lied to my mom. My mommy. You know. Why did he do that? And it stuck with me for years because I was like, well, that will be the question for the rest of my existence. Why did you do that? But I didn't. As an 8-year-old, couldn't.
Well, what
really.
You couldn't see is on the other side of that screen, that dark screen that you basically can only see their profile through. He had a huge handle of Old Crow, and he's just like silently guzzling at it.
He got one of those bags of Jesus pieces, and he's just going to town.
Why am I doing this?
Eating Eucharist like Tostitos and drinking some old. Terrible rot gut liquor.
Why did you do that?
I just thought of one more freaky church experience I had because of the Eucharist. So there's a rule where you're not supposed to eat an hour before you receive the Eucharist. So you can
like
have water. You can have water. But
you'll, get
like
you'll get the bends. You'll get the
same rules as
fast for an hour before you take the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. No hot
so
dogs.
As a kid,
no running, no bottles, no cutoffs.
As a kid, it might have been a hot dog. I don't
no
remember
peeing,
this point, but I
so.
Had I ate something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. And then I went to Mass, and as I'm walking up to receive the Eucharist, I suddenly am like. I think it's been like 47 minutes. Uh-oh. Like it hasn't been a full hour. So I take the Eucharist and I'm freaking out and I go to the bathroom.
No.
And I spit out the Eucharist and I flush it down the toilet.
Oh, God.
Jesus is why, in peace?
Why did you do that?
Why did you
Because
you
I didn't
want
to break the rule that was in my head.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me that symbolically... spitting out the body of Christ
in
the toilet.
In a toilet of all places.
And then it is, so I'm like, if I don't tell my family this. Like, I just felt like I was going to be taken down to hell right then. Mm-hmm. So I went to my aunt. We hadn't even left the mass yet.
Oh.
And I said, Gloria, I think it hadn't been an hour, and I spit out the Eucharist in the toilet. And she's like, well, we should talk to the priest right now.
What? God, I hate your family.
It's all with love. It was all done with love. Well, it was all done with love.
Yeah.
And then I went
and
talked
a little
to
bit
him,
of fear.
And he and but that's where the priest was able to actually make the first nuance of like dogma, because he was like, yes, it's a yes, fast for an hour, but it's okay if that doesn't happen. Like, you don't have to. It's not like if you ingest it, it's going to burn inside you.
Sure.
Like a sin.
You 8-year-old child who doesn't understand what's happening anyway. That right there is the proof that you shouldn't have to be involved in anything until you're like 16. No one knows what the fuck is going on.
I'm not saying there couldn't be improvements to the whole CCD structure.
Here's what I do love. I will say this, since my family is strictly Catholic, and because this is
who's the nun?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That you called the nun?
My Aunt Mary, the
Aunt
nun.
Mary, the
Aunt
nun.
Mary, the nun.
I love it.
Aunt she
Mary,
is the
nun.
Best person on this planet.
See?
I absolutely adore her. She's the most positive, hilarious.
And a real life nun.
A real life nun.
That's true.
Has been her whole life.
Right.
Amazing. She is such a great example of what's good about religion, because she is just fun, hilarious, positive, and is completely of service all the time. She also... somebody else in my family got a job. Oh, it was Lauren Cole Singham got a job. And my sister overheard my Aunt Mary telling my Aunt Jo on the phone, Lauren got a job now. She's got a little foxy pocket money. What? My sister goes, have you ever heard that saying, foxy pocket money? I was like, no, I bet you she made it up. She's just like awesome. She's the best. So in honor of her, because I was raised very strictly in this faith.
Right.
Here's what I'll say that's smart. There is a part in the Catholic ceremony, in the Sunday mass,
right,
is what we call it. And I think this is so smart, because every time I'm in that church, I haven't gone to church in years.
Right.
I haven't thought about church in years. But I'm there with my whole family, who goes every mother-loving Sunday,
mm-hmm,
and I feel like the worst person in the world. There's a part of the mass, all you have to do, and the priest says it. He goes, all you have to do is say, he doesn't say all you have to do, but it's, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. It's the fucking out. You're out.
Yeah.
You're not bad anymore. You say those words. You go, I'm sorry, I'm just this piece of shit. Can I please have a Jesus pieces anyway?
Yeah.
And you get to go and have one, because you're like, look, I'm bad, but I don't have time, and I'm not going to go to... I didn't find the time to go to confession,
right,
which I'm sure I'm still supposed to anyway, but they built it into the mass.
It is so my favorite moment too, Karen, because it's so, like you're saying, it's so that last release valve of like, because it's been building up the whole time.
Yeah.
Because all you do is you see, to do mass right, it's very simple. You just have to be conscious and listening and in the moment. Even if they're boring, then you're like, sometimes my biggest things, like going to mass, is when, especially as a performer, when it's not a strong speaker. The priest is not a strong speaker. And it's tough, because it's like, what you're selling is so hard already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You gotta bring a little showmanship and pizzazz, something. The first time we had a
foxiness.
Priest walk down, it was a Latin American priest that came to our parish, and he was the first guy who walked away from the lectern and had the wireless mic and started like walk down the steps, and you could feel this. I lived in a mostly white upper class called Siesta Key in Florida, and it was like, you just felt the whole like white first three rows tense up of like, why is he approaching us?
Keep your place, priest.
But it was, I see, like when I go home for the holidays, I've gone home now enough so many times where I've had the oldest priest in the parish, and even my mom and aunt will be like, we went to one service and they're like, hey, we hope you don't have to get the old priest again. Because they know he's a wash. He's a wash. You know?
But there's a priest now in our church. We always had Monsignor Tillman, who, it looked like a sketch. He was wearing glasses that were so magnified that you'd just stare at his eyes. You were just like, it looked like a joke.
Right.
And he was the worst public speaker. He had been doing it for literally 40 years.
Right.
And one time he got stabbed on the altar during Mass.
What? A crazy person
that had schizophrenia ran up and stabbed him, and he lived, and he still would stand up there, and it was like, and Leviticus 3, and you were just sitting there like, you know, all you could feel is like your numb ass on the seat or whatever. And now it's Father Gary, and he is so great. And his whole thing is communication, human connection, love, living for the now, building a better community. Like, the last time I went there, I was like, I'm coming back to this church. Like, I am a believer now, because this guy's talking not about these grandiose, dumb, conceptual things that don't affect, that are just fear-mongering.
Right. Yeah.
Instead, he's talking about, how do you make yourself happy today? You, instead of being a dick to the next person you see, you actively try to connect with the next person you see. It's the only thing.
Right.
And that love is the only thing that matters. Like, to hear a Catholic priest talking about that.
I know.
It was... It made me love him so much.
The worst thing is when they literally, like, a homily sermon, it could be about 12, it's no more than like 15 minutes, but they eat up the first 7-8 minutes by literally restating what was just heard in the first two readings. It drives me fucking nuts. I go crazy. Even again, like my mom, when my mom is complaining or my aunt is complaining, like, I know it's bad. And even my aunt recently was like, will you help me write an email? Because the parish, the pastor was like, if anyone wants to write in with suggestions, like, he opened it up.
Wow.
So she was like, I would just want to write a short email to them and say, like, hey, maybe don't recap what we've just heard. Like, and the other point being like you're saying, Karen, as far as like, you got to get something out of the ritual to take into the next 6 days of the week. Like, it has to be communicated in a way that the masses understand, oh, okay, you're giving me a tool. It's some way to think about something or be conscious in the moment, whatever, and try to remember that until I'm back here again. Like, that's all it's supposed to be as a ritual. It's like you're supposed to basically get some help in dealing with the next 6 days of the world.
Yeah, it was from back in a time where people didn't have therapists and people didn't even talk to each other. You pretty much didn't talk to anyone outside your family.
Right.
And so you were basically there to be like...
And religious people still don't look at therapy. Like, anytime I've mentioned therapy to my mom and my aunt, they're just like, I just see it doesn't register.
Well, it's from a different time. It's like, that's kind of for kooks and beatniks.
Yeah, it's pagan. Sure. That's pagan.
And then, and then I snap my way out of the living room.
Cool, Daddy.
Thanks for the flan.
This has been Doctrine Talk with Joe and Karen. Thank you for being here. Vatican II made a big difference in our lives.
I swear this would have happened if you guys had been zipping down the 405, for sure.
You're right. Yeah, I wouldn't. I would have been concentrating on driving, though, because I know nothing.
Sorry, we just boxed out hard.
We were basically...
I'm listening. That was very interesting to me. I grew up, my parents were like, we don't think anything happens. I'm like, oh, that's easy.
Well, I learned last week, you had bleeding nipples from Christian camp.
Isn't that insane?
It sounded like a horror movie.
Yeah, it was very scary. And the sound, just them, that was the first time I heard people say, your parents are going to hell unless you save them. That's a shitty thing
see,
to
that,
do to
that's
11, 12 years old, whatever it was.
That night, the
whistling,
Catholics,
you know what I'm talking about? When a bunch of kids are snoring, and it's like someone has a booger in their nose, and it goes, and then another kid, his snoring was like, so I just turned this in my head. I thought the devil was in me. I heard just people going, like it turned in. There's this emotion attached to it.
Silence of the Lambs.
I thought it was people, lambs being drowned in the lake.
Yeah.
Feasting on my nipples. Like. one of Jesus's pieces.
Well, also because you got it all at once. Like, we got brought into it slowly but surely, where you're suddenly, you become conscious sitting in the church, like, oh, this old thing that you're hearing in the background.
Right. I think that, yeah, giving it all to me at once like that and never having heard anything like that, even from my friends.
Right.
My family, but friends' families that weren't religious, so I didn't even have a warning about this. And all of a sudden, I think I was having, like, an anxiety attack, and that's why there was this weird...
Right.
Emotion attached and background devil stuff. It happened after that a few times. Like, I'd feel like the world's closing in on me, and then all these weird background screaming. But that was one of the first times. And I'm like, well, I have the devil in me, I guess. I just learned that he can just go in your butt, fly up your butt.
How ironic here at Christian camp.
Yeah.
The devil came in.
The one place I knew I should have gotten the cabin with a stronger front door.
Oh, that just reminded me. There's a new Jesus-y movie.
Yes.
Do you know about it?
About the devil?
With Ewan McGregor.
Wait.
Have you heard of it?
Is it a horror movie?
No, it's about, in the Bible, there's a point where, I think he had a couple of apostles at the time, disciples, but he goes off into the desert for like 40 days, and it's a specific test that he has to do, and the devil appears in the desert and tries to keep tempting him.
Tries to steal his crickets and honey.
Right, and then he comes back. But it's one based, on that time. And Ewan McGregor plays
Jesus.
It's a period thing, or it's modern day
No,
Jesus?
It's wearing period. Levi's. It's period, but it's done.
This is a period piece. Is this Bible story a period piece?
Is it 2069?
Or is it set in Soho, New York?
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to take the subway.
Jesus, no.
Look at that guy walking across the tracks.
But
watch out for the third rail.
Basically, that's my kind of superhero movie.
Oh, yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah.
The original superhero.
Shut up.
JC just rips open the
shirt.
I was
trying to be cool and irreverent.
Wait,
perfect
like
Superman.
You guys. All this talk is reminding me of a lady that used to sit in the back of our church, St. Vincent's Church in Petaluma, California. It's a gorgeous place.
Right.
I think they even had postcards. Very old-fashioned looking inside. There was a lady that always, always was sitting in the last pew in her widow's blacks and with a lace fucking veil.
Oh my God.
And she would be saying the rosary. So at my school, which was up the street, they would walk us down to do shit all the time. We had to do like Stations of the Cross, crazy, very ritualistic. Talk about standing up and sitting down. Stations of the Cross used to make me sick to my stomach. It went on for honestly over 2 hours, and it was incense, and you had to go buy every single thing that happened to Jesus the day he got crucified. It was rough. And then there would be this old, all in black horror movie lady saying the rosary and going, so you just hear hissing, and
that's scary.
That sound
that would trigger my.
Yeah, oh,
paranoia.
That, but when you walked by her, if girls walked by her, she would go, pretty, pretty, pretty.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God.
I'm fucking chilled to the bone right now.
She's horrifying.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And then she would lift her head, and she had cloudy eyes. She had, like, no pupils.
And she was like, I saw what you did. Why did you do that?
Why do you lie?
Sangai.
Impure thoughts.
Oh, my God. I mentioned that lady that rode around town. My mom was the sewer billing person. She burned her feces in the... Okay, you were listening.
That was awesome.
She rode a bike around like the Wicked Witch and with a black veil. That's like a scary lady thing.
Yes, it is.
Not that I had my doubts about a black veil ever being scary, but I think it's like a trend.
Sorry, can I change it super quick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stay in the Catholic Church much longer.
Well, I was going to say, that kind of stuff is much easier in a cathedral. If you're ever in like a cathedral, like European cathedrals, that exact thing makes it seem historical.
Yes.
In a town church, you're like, I'm in a horror movie. That's the difference. Like, if the place is beautiful
Spain and some beautiful...
Because I've had so many experiences where it was like... You know, you're seeing all the candles are lit, you know, all the votive candles, and you're like, okay, there's something here, rather than just like The Conjuring 3.
You know what I mean? my dad came home from church one time when my sister lived with my parents, and it was when I was, you know, I'm sure it was like the mid 90s down here, and my sister goes, where were you? And my dad goes, at church praying for your sister. And he meant it. It was, that was real. But I was going to switch it to this, talking about creepy things around town. I, the other day, was turning left from Western onto Franklin, and I saw a man jog by, and he was wearing...
It wasn't me.
He was wearing running shorts, no shirt, a baseball hat, and a black nylon mask with no eye holes and no mouth hole.
Oh, my God.
And he came around the corner kind of fast, and I was like, "What?" And then it was one of those things that looked like...
What does that do? He didn't want pollution?
I don't know. Okay. Or he didn't want people to see who he was. It was Matt Damon. I don't know.
Wow.
But his body is gorgeous and perfect. And all, like, it's all the same, you know, even, perfectly even-toned skin.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. So, I tweeted that, right? I just said that, and I put the last phrase in all caps, in a black nylon mask, with no whatever. Uh-huh. Last night, I get a tweet back at me. Well, I wonder what the baseball hat was about. And I look at the profile picture, it was him.
Oh my God.
And in his profile picture, he's naked. You can see the top of his dick. And so I wrote back and said, "Hi, Mask Runner." And he wrote back and said, "Hi, Karen Kilgariff."
What?
Yeah. What's up? What's up, y'all?
Did his profile picture have the black mask?
No. His profile picture is of cropped. His torso. Oh, my. Yeah. It's
and
like
you,
chin to
did
top
Did you recognize? Because you studied his body pretty carefully.
It was that
it
same
like,
bot. Oh, yeah.
Didn't it? He really looked at those gams.
Why are you guys high-fiving? Because it's my victory.
Dude, we appreciate the human figure. Huh? Come on, Wagner. Give me some more of that. Sorry,
I'm just trying
Karen.
To be a good guest,
we'll
Karen.
Talk to Karen in a little. Yeah, all right. Anyway, your experience.
I guess I want to say it publicly. This could be the best thing that's ever happened to me. This could be the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
I like in podcasts when there's a runner comes up and you don't know what it's going to be in life.
Right. And this time it's literally a runner.
It is a runner. You're right, I was speaking trade lingo. A runner is a recurring joke in a half-hour situation comedy.
He could be my new best friend.
Well, I wonder, you know.
You're intrigued by his?
What if he's horribly disfigured? In?
He's like, not.
It's got to be pollution then. He doesn't want
to
breathe.
He probably wants to jog as he wants. He probably wants to jog naked. That's the feeling I get.
Oh.
And so he is pretty much naked. Like, it's just little jogging shorts.
Right, shorts.
Totally. So he, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't want people to see who he is.
But black. I guess it's better than, what if it was flesh-colored?
I guess flesh-colored would be bad. And also, maybe eye holes and mouth holes would be worse.
Oh,
because that would just be like a bank robber jogging.
Yeah, he'd probably get shot by cops immediately.
But I don't know. I mean, it is very
I'm worried about him. I'm not making fun. If you're running and you have a black mask... It's like, well,
but he looked jogger from the neck down.
He looks
down,
like
basically.
A cartoon of a jogger.
Right.
So, well, then you should rob a bank and wear jogging clothes and just, like, run.
Oh, that's
a good
idea.
That's what I've decided. Oh, man, I just wrote a movie script and we got our runner.
Anyway, we're friends now, and it's exciting. But also, I want to kind that's of
in,
put
in
it on the public
cyberspace.
Record.
Yeah.
Right. He's not going to pick me up at the airport, probably.
No, but he wants sex with you. That was flirting. Hello, Karen Kilgariff. Well, I wonder what the hat was about. Usually, I don't wear anything on my head when I'm going downtown.
I think
whatever.
It's very bold that finally to see a man's naked body as a profile picture.
Yeah.
You always see women.
Right.
You always see women who are trying to coyly add their boobs up into their face picture. I love that.
There's a specific selfie that most young girls take now.
Fireplace mantle.
That's putting there's the boobs a real up one there. Called the sink shot. That Kim Kardashian basically started and it took off. And
what's
and
the sink shot?
The sink shot or the sink selfie, which is the girl puts her ass up on the sink just a little bit and it makes your ass go out. And it's just a little trick to make their ass look bigger.
Why
like,
would
like
Kim
when
Kardashian
I cross my arms,
need it?
Well, she did it.
Yep, but
see
for your
I'm
butt.
Doing?
Exactly, but for your butt.
Look at that.
Look at the
right
gun
now,
show.
Yeah.
Two tickets.
Yeah.
This has big biceps.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just an optical illusion.
Ooh, look at they're gone.
Yeah, my arms are gone, you guys.
He looks like a refugee.
Podcast magic.
Syrian refugee. what were we talking? It's a sink
shot.
It's a sink shot. Because she did it in one of her photography books that sold a million, gajillion copies.
Yeah.
And Now it's a. I read about this in a great book. I'm going to recommend a book. It's called American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. And it was written by this Vanity Fair writer. And she interviewed over 200 girls over the last 2.5 years and wrote this book about how social media is basically warping teenagers, like in ways that people aren't prepared for. Like,
no one's
really prepared for it. Parents are starting to freak out.
I mean, many of them make porn. That's just a reality.
Porn and suicide.
Porn is the thing that keeps kind of popping up. And one of the examples is, like, first of all, the girls, because of the internet, they're actually like a little bit more self-aware, but they also think that they have, it's like, I can't really do anything about it. Like, I kind of know it's fucked up, but we still have to play the game or else we have no life. That's what they think. Then you have the boys who are literally watching porn on their phone at school.
Yeah.
And this one girl she talked to said, well, my friend was giving a presentation and the teacher was sitting in the back of the class and a couple dudes were in the front. And then it was like Q&A and one of the guys was like, yeah, I have a question, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like holding up the phone, showing the girl that he's playing a porno on his phone in the class. And the girl
was like,
his
question about the porno? It's
like,
a little off topic.
What lighting kit are they using in this? It's gorgeous.
I think that's a DP scene, but can we talk about the monologue?
I mean, these look like Klieg lights.
All joking aside, it's really serious.
Yeah, it is.
Who cares? Let them fuck each other.
Did the teacher see that multiple
of course, the thing was that the girls didn't go to the teacher. Like, they just were like, he's not going to do it. Like, nothing's going to happen. Like, we know it's wrong, but they have no faith in any of the authority figures.
Wait, sorry. What? He held up a porn as if to say, I'm watching this and not you?
No, just to fuck with her.
Okay, well, listen. Tony Felli, when I played the Virgin Mary, we're back at St. Vincent's Church. I got to play the Virgin Mary in the Christmas processional. And when I got up to the front, I was wearing my mother's blue robe and that weird towel around my head. I was holding the baby, the Virgin Mary, and I was in all my glory. I couldn't have been prouder. I looked down. Tony Felli, who is in my sister's class, is in the front row with his family, and he's giving me the bird on his leg.
God, he wasn't. I really thought he was going to be masturbating.
Yeah, I thought he was
it was the bird. It was the 80s version of the story you just told. We've been having to deal with things like this all our lives.
Agreed. I'm just saying
on social media.
The latest version is like.
And it was the one where it's all finger and no balls for fingers. It was very upsetting looking. But he also knew it would be funny because it was like, I'm flipping off the Virgin Mary, but she has to look over here. It was kind of great, actually. You know what? Now that I look back.
Yeah, that kid's great.
I loved it, and he's hilarious.
It was a better time before social media.
It really was, because you had to get creative and be low-key.
No, I think about
it. It's very tough out there.
People are always like, but in France, the newscasters are naked. It's a better... there's so much shame behind it, and I agree that there's too much violence, and then it's awful to show the top of some masked guy's dick.
Yeah.
But I don't... I think it's sad, because sex was such a mystery and everything, and I think in my life it was... made it more exciting, and I appreciated it more. Now that even, this youngest kid has seen anal penetration on his phone.
It's two things,
it's
basically.
It's too much.
Two things that you kind of tell at the end is that because of the internet, there's so much more porn to watch, so it's being watched. And then at the same time, the teenagers are getting on... they have their own apps for dating, even if it's not like the official ones because of age limits. So boys basically are watching gangbangs, and then they're looking at their phone and going, well, there's 2,000 girls I could pick from.
Yeah.
In that way where in their head it becomes like, so that's all. I can treat these people the way I just keep clicking on another video until the right one pops up.
But there are people who treated women like that already without any of the internet existing. I mean, talking about a personality type. And this comes down to parenting. Like, Morin, who's, was a college freshman when she was on our podcast, we've talked to her about all that kind of stuff. And it's like that whole idea of if I don't do this, I won't have a life, is total bullshit. That is a very specific and very incorrect mindset that gets taught to girls by bad parents and by weird getting influenced by the wrong people.
Right.
But young women have to know that they get to do whatever the fuck they want. And they don't like the idea that you would have to record yourself doing something sexual
right.
to get like some rando guy in high school. You got to be a little bit smarter than that.
Yeah.
Well,
like, see beyond that.
I think what I got from it and each chapter is an age. So the first chapter is 13 and she goes up to 19. And the thing that you see is that, of course, because of the exponential internet growth, it goes younger, faster, which is fucked up. I lost my train of thought. Well, there's this one girl that she interviews who's a train hopper, and she's the one girl who's like, I'm not on the grid. Like, I don't have time to worry if I'm getting validated because I have to jump on the next train to survive.
Mm.
And this is the life I chose. But this validation thing, I think what's happening is because of the internet, when you're growing up and you're like, okay, either I'm going to join the herd or I'm actually going to start to figure out who I am. And thankfully, the people that do that it's a better path. Well, it's easier now if you're that person who's not quite fitting in to actually take the photo and use all the filters to make yourself look even closer to the popular people. And then immediately you will get... Because you're online, it doesn't matter if it's somebody that you know in high school or just some fucking weirdo perv out in the middle of nowhere, you'll get somebody writing, you're hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, there's a bunch of girls that she talks to that they do an ugly duckling thing where it's not like they become an interesting, creative, independent thinker. They go, oh, I actually can look my version of Kim Kardashian. And my friends are going... wow, you look great. You look hot. And they start to do that turn instead of the other one of like, who am I as an individual?
Yeah. I guess I'm just saying, I think these pressures of old, because we're They've really coming down saying, to like how it is to be a girl. It's almost like everyone's starting to, it's all like barfing up at how it actually is to grow up as a girl. And it fucking right. sucks because you right. become an object of sexual attraction and you have to figure out how to manage that.
Right.
And some of us go to 7-Eleven and eat as many Doritos as we can.
They have
and
new that's peanut your butter way, cupcakes, like... by the way. And a couple of them are trying pupusas, which I think is the... I don't get at all. There are a couple 7-Elevens trying pupusas.
Yeah, what
sir.
An obscure snack. I saw the picture of it, but they didn't have any rotating on the hot
conveyors. Then they're not going to sell. If they're not on the hot dog treadmill, then forget about it.
You're born into a... fucked system, a rigged system, and then this, but it's just it's the internet stuff and the overwhelming sense that teenagers have now of like, you know, basically you can promote yourself. That's what kids are doing now. You're right. It is the same popularity system that's always been in high school when you grow up and adolescence, but now you can play it online. Like teenagers, we make jokes about branding on Twitter. Yeah. Ironically, teenagers are trying to figure out how to brand themselves at like 14.
That is all to me, the most tragic thing is there's just no shy people anymore. Like all my friends when I was young were like the shy, quiet,
right.
who'd occasionally chime in and say something funny. And I'm like, that's my friend.
Right.
One that isn't cocky. I was raised by my dad to be like, don't get a big head. You can be confident, but don't let people know you're confident. Like, just be fucking shy and doubt yourself. Those are my people, and they're disappearing. Shy people? I don't.
Because like, you
not
had
if you're
to,
under 30.
You had to trust something about them that wasn't them speaking. So for me, the four friends I made in seventh grade at my new school were the four kids who were wearing Three Stooges pins. And we were like, you like the Three Stooges? I like the Three Stooges. And... that's all.
Let's become piano movers that keep messing up. Sorry.
Let's go to our plumbing.
It's time for the boxing match. I'll be the referee.
Oh,
don't forget to bring the cheese because he's going to scream for cheese.
We solved that, right?
Yeah, I think we solved good, it. Good, we good. Solved the problem yeah, the girls no, have to face these days.
No, I
and
think,
boys.
I think boys
are in it, too.
I finished the book, and the first thought I had was, like, why am I not seeing... I don't know who would do it. The closest, I think, is Terry Crews, from what I've seen. But there are no dudes out there. It probably have to be more an athlete. I know there are some good guys out there, whatever, examples, role models, but... There's no guy out there who's basically saying, like, okay, look, you got to, this is what's got to start changing.
Terry Crews is great.
He's great.
Says,
he had
I
a great book
guy.
About, you know, trying to be a good man.
Mm-hmm.
So, but nobody, I don't think, you're right. It's like parenting. Like, guys aren't getting any sense of, like, here's what you're going to start doing that's really wrong. And you have to kind of start thinking about how not to react in certain ways.
Although I have to say, I don't think it gets talked about or reported on that much because it's not sexy. Like, what you're talking about is very sexy. So the story itself gets discussed because right. what we're really talking about is 13-year-old girls making videos of their fingers up their ass or whatever. But what I think is happening is because there's so much, like, feminism is now becoming, like, a thing that's at Urban Outfitters.
Right.
And so there are young boys that are getting exposed to women saying, hey, I don't want to be treated. Hey, I'm just like you. I don't want to be treated like that.
Right.
I have a bunch of ideas. I want to play sports. I want to write books. I want to do all these things. Relate to me like you would another person.
Right.
And I think, I don't know. I think they might, I have faith that these generations might be able to do for themselves what we couldn't do.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I think kids, yeah, that they might have problems, but they're smarter than I was.
Like you said.
Yeah, talk to my nephew now, I'm like, oh, I got to be where you're at by the time maybe I was 20.
Seriously?
Right, 15, right.
16. Yeah. Yeah, it's...
They smarten up faster.
Yeah.
They do.
Back in my day, everyone was stupid. Oh, wow. That was a refreshing grandpa.
Those of us can't see this, but we all have long white beards.
I looked at pictures of underwear. I didn't have a fancy porn phone. Oh, yeah, because I was stupid.
I'm wearing a Gloria Steinem pilot glasses, not sunglasses, aviator glasses.
I follow Diane von Furstenberg on Twitter.
She
Actually,
makes
it's
a
the DBF
mean rap
account.
Dress.
It's great stuff.
Is she that pinup tattoo artist? you guys, I'm just Tita Von teasing. You're listening.
This has been quite something. Joe, do you have anything to plug?
Yeah.
I think we got a great Pope.
Yes!
I so want a Twitter bump from this appearance.
Mm.
So my Twitter handle is at Brother Wags,
B-R-O-T-H-E-R-W-G-S. So irritating when I need to talk to you on Twitter and I can't remember what your stupid fucking...
Brother,
that goes out to everyone. Use your name if it's available.
Use your name.
I'm your brother.
No, this isn't about you, though. It was
but see, I actually changed... It used to be closer to my name, but then I was scared that my mom and my aunt would find my Twitter online.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I came up with it.
Hey, I'm sorry I said I hated them earlier.
No. That's a very natural reaction when you feel. But it was. They were very loving about that stuff.
Sure.
It wasn't a condemning kind of thing.
Right.
Is Twitter your only plug?
Yeah, I used to say make friends with me on Facebook, but I'm getting too many weirdos. So yeah.
Good call.
So it's just Twitter. Just
MySpace.
Twitter.
It is.
I have a plug.
Mm-hmm.
It's our show, June 8th, and Wednesday, June 8th at 10 p.m. at the Improv Lab. It will be me. It will be April Richardson. We're the hosts. Chris Fairbanks will be on that show. Guy Branum will be on that show.
Branum. It's Branum.
I say Branum. Jamie Lee.
He knows it.
Jamie Lee will be on the show. Jay Weingarten will be on the show. And Matt Bronger will be on the show.
Fred Armiston?
And Fred Armiston will be on the show.
Armiston.
It's going to be awesome. Come to the Improv Lab June 8th, 10 p.m., $8. We'll make it worth your while.
Yeah, it's going to be terrific if you're in the Los Angeles area. Also, if you're in the Bay Area or just a fan of the cult film, I have a t-shirt. Do you like this voice?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It's The Warrior. It's a mashup parody shirt. Someone printed off some copies before I had the chance to print mine. I talked to him. He said, hey, I just made them for myself. But,
you did talk to that guy? You posted
online?
Yeah.
I deleted all that stuff.
Well, explain what you're talking about.
The t-shirt I designed is available at One Color. Warriors.com, and it's just a Warriors mashup. Sure, it's the but movie else, and the basketball team.
Somebody else came had a similar design.
No, he took it from my Instagram, and I happened to see he's friends with this guy that I know that's from my town that's in Pearl Jam, and so I follow him on. And this guy, I'm like, oh, they're at the game right now that I'm watching, and he was wearing my shirt, and I said, cool, he got one of my shirts, and then I talked to the guy that prints them, and he said, I just printed them. And I noticed the logo was the older version I did on my Instagram, so he pulled it off of there and cut out my Twitter handle. So I was kind of mad, because then he said, bootleg the bootleggers. That was like his. But apparently that's a Pearl Jam reference, like a lyric or a song or something.
Oh, okay.
So that's what?
And he didn't know that
It's vetted.
I know. He didn't know that I was going to make shirts. He just saw that image, and he's like, I want that on a shirt for myself that I'm going to wear at the game.
He made his own shirt.
He made his own couple shirts.
Okay.
And it was and so I backed off, and I was like, oh, man, okay. He didn't know it, and now he's promoting. He took another picture and said, hey, get shirts like this at this site. And
oh, that's nice.
And he used to be this snowboard retail mega guy that is probably still
happy ending.
Yeah. And I've sold a bunch because of this guy. So thanks to Joel. What's your name that used to own Sessions?
Joel Osteen.
Joe Cocktoasto.
Fletch.
Hey, it ain't an episode if we don't reference Fletch, hey?
That's one color with a K, right?
Yeah, one color with a K. Thank you, Karen. Karen with a C just corrected me about it. It's one color with a C. Your name isn't K-A-R-E-N? C-A, sorry.
.gov?
Last episode, you said triple K. There you go, triple K. What did you say? Triple K color? And then you did.
Stop talking about the last episode.
I know. That's just for me. I'm a weirdo.
He's kind of like your nerd.
Great.
Yeah,
I'm a super nerd.
You've been a great guest. You're a smart guy. And
guys, thanks for asking me. I feel like this is the first guest. I'm the first guest of.
You really are.
Of
the new beginning.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel good to not almost die?
Yeah. And to put people to sleep with the church talk.
Yes. This is a nighttime
podcast.
See, that's
the thing I do where if you say that, I pretend I fell asleep, because even that is boring.
Oh, wait, do that again.
Where am I, church camp? Oh, God, everyone's possessed. Good. So we know each other. We know each other, Joe.
Good.
Isn't it fun to see it in person?
Good.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N-A-R. Joe?
No, isn't that what they do?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, like a sea otter.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.